How young can you start this? As soon as they're able to verbalize. Tell me you can't get up on the couch. Well, what can you do to get up on the couch? Did you try jumping? Did you try scooching? Did you try climbing?
But help him that way, but not do it for him.
Right. Help him start verbalizing that he has a problem called, I want to get on the couch. And my body ain't doing that. And then acknowledge the struggle. And it'll boost him. You'll watch. He'll just, boom. He's up there. Yeah! Yay! You solved your problem. Hooray! And your husband will think you're out of your mind, but... Any questions?
I do. I guess since parents are going to school,
yes.
So it's not like the youngest one, he comes home.
Yep.
And he has this new attitude towards his brother. He's just like me, you know, we equal thing. So he start fighting more often than they ever did before. So usually, you know, when they used to fight, they used to be separated, they can't play. Then they're fine, they hug each other, they kiss each other, and they go boom, go after one another again.
Okay.
And it gets frustrated because it just works me out to the point that I just...
Because you've not updated your relationship with Freeman. Okay, the problem is not theirs, it's yours. Can I tell you what your problem
is?
Okay, your problem is that you've got Luca responsible for Freeman. Luca's the big brother, Freeman's the little brother. Luca's supposed to watch out for the little brother. Little brother's in rebellion. He ain't going to be told what to do by Luca now that he's in school. You haven't updated that for yourself, and you haven't updated them about it. Will that solve the problem if you do that?
Well, I think that sometimes I feel that I can manage what's going on with Luca better, and I find some way sometimes lost when it comes to Freeman.
Because you are it's just like, you used to be just like Luca.
Right.
Your mother told you that, so you know how to deal with Luca.
But I really have no clue to, you know, sometimes I really feel helpless about it.
Because in your mind, Freeman is still baby Freeman, and you don't treat a baby the way that you treat a child. You treat a baby totally different. And so you have this baby who's verbalizing six-year-old things because that's who he's hanging out with. He doesn't even necessarily know what they mean, but he's spewing them out like he does. And you don't know how to deal with him. In your mind, he's still a baby. He's still baby Freeman. Luca's still got to watch out for him. You need to release Luca from that responsibility and hold accountable Freeman.
So in the solution, them fighting the way they do,
mm-hmm.
I can have them define the problem, which is...
But you have the problem called, I don't like you fighting. My solution for that problem is timeouts when you fight. If you can't separate yourself and find another solution, that's my solution. Because I'm not going to have boys fighting in my house.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's sit down. Now, the problem is what? You ask him, what's the problem? What started the fight? Well, he said this. Well, I did not. I said this.
Yeah, sometimes Luca's much stronger. So, you would just hit him pretty hard at times. So, he's being, Luca hurts my feeling or Luca has hurt me. And then at the end, you find out that, you know, he started it.
Mm-hmm. Always. You'll find out that one always started it. Your son, Luca, doesn't start fights. You can count on that. So you have to figure out what is the problem with Freeman. And you ask him.
But also, what I experienced with Freeman is that, as manipulative he can be, he also has an ability to really, he opened his heart, and when he's really hurt, it's hard for me to explain, but you can really feel that it's hurt. So I realize sometimes that whatever worked with Luca, it doesn't necessarily work with Freeman. So it's a whole new environment.
It's not true. I mean, unless he's a divine child, above physical laws, what works for children works for children.
Today, for example, he had a temper tantrum and said, stop, or you're going to have to go up. So he went upstairs, then he calmed himself down, he came down, and he goes, you don't like me. Which is, you know, I don't even know where this thing comes in right now. This is Freeman's new rap. You don't
cool.
like me.
Right.
Oh, that's where
it
comes from?
Oh, yeah. You're not my best friend. I don't like you. I hate you will be the next one. Wait till he says that. I hate you. You don't even know what it means. You go, oh my God. That's the tough one. Oh, your heart just goes, oh my God, what did I do? Do you know what that means? No. Why are you crying, Mommy? You hurt my feelings. You said you hate me. What's it mean, Mommy? Oh, that's right. You're three. You don't know what that means. The problem is probably that Freeman is tired of being told what to do. And Luca comes home as the big brother who's been made responsible for his little brother. If you listen to Luca tells Freeman what to do most all day. Freeman, do this. Freeman, do that. Freeman, we need to do this. It's time for dinner. Come on in. Don't play with the dog that way. Play with the dog that way. And little Freeman's just tired of being told what to do. And who he's taking it out on is his brother.
Right. So the moment that I define the problem and I have Freeman define his own problem, take responsibility for his actions are...
Then... You can both define the problem.
Okay.
Luca will probably say, well, he wouldn't do what I asked him to do. He was doing something dangerous, and little Freeman will say, don't tell me what to do. There's your problem.
So in that case, how do you correct that?
When mommy's home, Mommy gets to tell you what to do. You can ask your brother to do things with you, but you no longer have the responsibility of taking care of him.
But if he's doing something wrong or he's...
You come to Mommy.
I mean, where you could protect him.
You come to Mommy. You know the difference. Mm-hmm. Luke is very protective of Freeman. But what Freeman thinks is dangerous and what Luca thinks are dangerous are...
Mm-hmm. My two-year-old will just out of the blue just turn around and hit. They'd just be sitting there watching a video and all of a sudden she'd just go bang.
Uh-huh. And what do you do with her?
Well, Victoria would say, Mommy, Michaela just hit me. I said, Michaela, you know, you shouldn't hit Victoria.
Huh? What are the consequences for hitting?
I'd send her to her room.
So is it working? Has she stopped hitting her?
No. It's not every day.
Right.
Every other week or so.
But it's a character for her?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I don't know where she's getting it. And lately she's been saying, I'm a bad boy. And I said, you're not a boy, you're a girl. And where do you get this from? I don't even use the word bad in the house. I don't mm-hmm. say that.
Mm-hmm. Was she supposed to be a boy? Did you want a boy?
Yes.
That's where she gets it from. So just apologize to her and tell her you're thrilled that she is a girl.
Does she really understand the difference between a boy or a girl?
Oh, yeah.
At two?
Oh, yeah. You apologize to her for wanting a boy and thank her for being a girl. Because you're thrilled that she's here and that she's a girl, right? And when you were pregnant, you wanted a boy. I mean, it's like no big deal to you, but to her, it was life for 9 months. What am I going to do when they find out I'm a girl? They're not going to love me. They don't want me. On and on and on and on. And yeah, they know the difference. You apologize for having the conversations of wanting a boy.
I just said, oh, I'm sorry, I wanted a boy, Michaela.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm thrilled that you're a girl. Probably what's happening is when her frustration level gets pretty high, she strikes out. Nancy?
Is there any problem solving that I should not be doing at his age? I mean, I don't know what phase he might be going through as far as frustrated or whatever. Should I let him get frustrated?
Yes, and you acknowledge it as frustration. You want to start speaking that now so that it's something he grows up with. It's not something that he has to learn. It's just the way it's always been is this is this emotion and this is this emotion and this is happy and this is joyful and this is peaceful and this is quiet and this is. So that when he becomes verbal, he'll know. He'll already know. You won't have to have taught him. He'll have grown up with it that way. Ooh, you're frustrated. Ooh, gosh, you're getting angry. Be patient. Mommy's coming. I can only take my shirt off as fast as I can take my shirt off. Patient.
Like I noticed he has a toy and he can't reach it. I get it.
No. If you expect him to learn to use his body, you have to let him learn. And it's extremely frustrating because his mind says, move your arm, and it doesn't move. And they get furious with themselves that they can't use this body the way that their mind tells them that they can. And they get more and more verbal about it. And if you allow them to, they'll make it your fault that they can't do that. Michael, when he was learning how to walk, he'd be toddling along, 9 months old, boom, on his butt. And he'd sit and he'd look at me with this glare in his eye and scream.
Whoa! What did you do?
Say, Michael, I didn't push you down, honey. You fell down. It's no big deal. Get back up. I didn't push you down. That's how you learn to walk. You fall a few times. No reason to be so angry with me. I didn't push you down. And then he'd get up and he'd get back up and he'd do it again. And you only had to have the conversation once a day, but he'd start every morning falling down on his bottom and thinking about it. And you could see this little mind just, who did that to me? I was there and I'd be the one that he'd glare at. And I'd have to say, buddy, I didn't do it. Or he'd throw a spoon when he was learning how to eat. You know, he'd be doing this, but he'd do it a little too vigorously, and there goes his food. And he'd look at me like I did it magically or something, you know, because you're a magician at that age. You are God. You can fix all the problems at that age. Oh, Michael, you got to hold on to that spoon, buddy, or it flies.
My question is, what do I do about safety?
Safety?
He does things that are really dangerous.
What does he do? He doesn't climb the refrigerator like her kids.
Oh, yes, he does.
He does?
He doesn't climb the refrigerator. I've got a changing table. And he can now hurl himself into the changing table. And the changing table's next to the refrigerator, and he can now reach the top of the refrigerator.
Then I recommend you move the changing table. Why does he need a changing table?
Oh, it's easier to change
him. Well, yeah, it's easier, but then your whole day is spent wondering if this kid's in the changing table or not. You have to safetyize your house.
Well, I do. I mean, I have nothing.
You have to de-Sammyize it.
Again.
You have to keep updating it. Yeah.
So as far as safety, for now, it's my responsibility.
Or you tell him that's not safe. I mean, it depends on how you want to raise him. If you can't deal with it that day, you move it. If you know you're going to be there all day and you want to teach him the difference, you know, that he could hurt falling or the possible dangers of this activity, then you stand there and you watch him do it, and you say, Sammy, that's not safe, and you be there for when he falls. That's not safe, honey. You can't do that.
Yeah, because that's what I keep telling him. You need to keep yourself safe.
But he doesn't know what that means.
Yeah, he doesn't. That's it.
If you climb on this chair and you throw your body back now, right. You're probably going to fall over and bonk your head.
Right.
So did he do it? Did he step on the chair and throw his body?
Stuck an ottoman in the back of the chair.
You stuck an ottoman in the back of the chair, which teaches him that what you say isn't necessarily true, because he can now jump on that chair and throw his body, and it doesn't happen. What I mean, if it's cement floor, I wouldn't let him do it, but hey, do it. I told you it's not safe. I'm trying to have him come. Oh, great time. And then I stand over there and kind of catch him as he's failing, so he doesn't really hurt himself. That'll teach him. It only takes one. So you can't solve his problem. Could do is teach him what's safe and what you need to keep yourself safe doesn't say anything to him. He doesn't parameters. But if you won't let him fall, how's he gonna know?
So it's such a pride. I mean, my bathroom is like an L shape.
Right.
And like the closet door and there's a wall, which is about a certain distance. All I know, my kids was touching the ceiling because he managed to put his body, put his feet in his hand, and he climbed this way.
Right.
All the way up the ceiling.
Wow. Right. Later, man.
Oh, what are you doing? Mommy, only go with their hand, but he's like, he's doing
freeing. That's what I'm freeing.
Oh, then I found out. Oh my god,
that's incredible.
So I just don't like climbing up my
climbing walls. Next month it'll be the ceiling. So what did you tell him?
I said, I don't like you climbing the walls. I also am afraid that you're gonna fall. Please don't.
You ask him if he was safe.
Oh, no, he felt he was safe. I mean,
did you ask him if he felt he was safe? See, you can't go around telling Freeman what's safe and what's not safe. Telling me at 16 months what's safe and what's not safe is one thing, but you got an adventurer on your hands.
Yeah.
And you have to teach him to check in with himself.
Right.
He needs to be able to check in with him, because he's not going to listen to you anyway. I mean, he's going to climb the walls anytime he wants to climb the walls. He's just going to make sure you're not around.
Right.
So you need to ask him to check in with himself. Are you safe? That scares me. Are you safe? Are you sure you're safe? Okay, as long as you're safe.
If he's safe, let him climb the wall.
Yeah. Our kids are like that. They do things that kids don't do. I mean, would I let my kid climb a wall? No. But my kid isn't as strong as her kid, nor is he
climbing the walls.
If you let him go in these McDonald's things, it's not any different what they're doing in those McDonald's tubes as it is being in your shower climbing the walls. I mean, it's not a long stretch of the imagination to see a shower as a tube and climb it.
Turn around and say, McDonald's, you could do that. That's the place to do it. It's not in your family.
Sure you can. It bothers you. Sure. But to have it be an issue of safety, where you have to be the one telling them whether it's safe or not. I mean, if you don't want him climbing the walls, fine. But how did she get to be responsible for his safety? He spends too much time a day away from her for him to have to be responsible for her safety. She needs to teach him what's safe and what's not safe by checking in with himself. Do you feel secure there? Are you safe? Can you get out of there safely? I'm going to stand here and watch because you're scaring me. There comes a point where you have to trust your children. You have to protect them, but you also have to trust them. Self-esteem. Praise and self-esteem. Self-esteem is built by praise, yes?
Right.
So, the thing to avoid when you're praising your child is saying, you are a boy, or you are a good girl. Why? Why when I say, you're a good girl, you're a good girl?
Because they're always good, they're just their behaviors.
You're making their behavior contingent upon whether you like them or you don't like them, whether you think they're good or they're not good. Then what happens when their behavior is poor? What are they? You're a bad boy. You're a bad boy. So avoid that. Try and avoid that. You'll notice that you want to do that, that it's very easy to say, oh, you're such a good girl. Oh, you're such a good boy. Oh, you're such a good child. You're such a bad child. Praise specific behaviors. So describe what you see. When you praise, describe what you see.
I keep trying to do good listener.
Good listener.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pretty good, actually. Mm-hmm.
And what do you do when he's a bad listener?
I wait. You know, I'll just wait until you're ready. I mean, you know, sometimes it's like at this age, he doesn't want to be changed. I'm like in the middle and I got a problem. So I wait. You know, I tell him. Okay.
So you wait. You change his diapers when he wants his diapers changed? Is that what you're telling me? If he doesn't, if this 16-month-old doesn't want his diapers changed right now, you wait until he wants his diapers changed?
No. In the middle, I wait. In the middle, I tell him, you got to relax. You have to relax.
Oh, well, he's still laying there.
Yeah.
And when you relax, I'll change your pants.
Yeah.
Good.
That's what I do.
I thought you meant you let him run around while you...
No.
Until he determines he wants his pants changed. So the other thing you can do during diaper changing time is put in patience. Because the thing that 16-month-olds don't have is patience. They want it now. Now, yesterday. Too long! These diapers should have been off and cleaned. And come on, Ma, would you hurry it up? I got things to do. This is a go. 5 seconds. Boom, I'll give you 5 seconds of my time, Mom, and then I'm out of here. There's a fabulous video called Once Upon a Potty. Have you heard of it? Yeah. Once Upon a Potty? It's a book, but they also have a video, and they're gender specific. There's one for little girls and one for little boys. And it is a fabulous, fabulous video. And what I would do with Michael is every morning I would sit him, you know, the tops go down on the potty, and that was his chair. And he would sit on his chair with the coffee table, and he'd sit there eating his breakfast watching Once Upon a Potty, which sounds totally gross to us adults, but he was totally enamored with it.
And the song.
And the song you can
get out of your head. I'm going to my body,
body.
It's like a whole thing.
Yeah, I'm going to my body, body.
Were you training him to go to the potty there at the table?
Yes. Not to sit in the potty at the table, no, but you get them used to the space. You get them used to the apparatus. You can't just ask them to sit to put their bottom, the most vulnerable part of them, on a hole. It's pretty scary.
I should just go on the potty.
Yeah, good. Okay, honey, go on in the bathroom. I'll be in a minute. Take your pants off. If she can communicate, it means that she either doesn't want to be potty trained, or she is getting the message of being wet after. She's not getting the message that she has to go before. So you want to acknowledge, good, thank you for telling me. Go on in the bathroom and I'll change your pants. You know, now that she's a big girl, she gets to be a part of that. It's kind of like a little secret, you know, of the family. This is where we go potty. This is where we dump with diapers. This goes in. Where does this go, honey? Where does this potty go? I'll go with you. Where does it go? I don't know. Goes in the potty. Come on, Mommy, I'll go with you. Be right back. Be prepared to applaud.
That made a big difference.
Applauding does.
I was like, wow. Applauding does. It was like, he wasn't true, but he was looking for the big thing. And after that, he went to the toilet until he fell in the toilet and got stuck in the toilet. That was a pretty traumatic experience for him. I didn't realize. I'm like, I'm stuck. I'm like, what do you mean?
Like this. Oh, jeez. So that video helps because they get to see other children doing it. Pull-ups help a lot, too, instead of diapers. So start preparing her that she can start using the potty. Okay, describe what you see. Describe what you feel. I see a little girl sitting on the potty. I'm so proud. Seemed to be such a big girl. And then ask them how it makes them feel. How does it make you feel? Aren't you proud of yourself? So in the beginning of the course, you made a list of 10 things you wanted to teach your children. Pick one of those things and focus on one of those things for a week. What will start happening after that week? What will your children start telling you? So if you picked the word patience, if you picked the word patience and you're so patient, within a week, what is your child going to be saying to you? Mom, you're so patient. Or, you know, my teacher is so patient. Or, Johnny's not patient. Johnnies are never patient for those of you who have Johnnies. So describe what you see, describe what you feel, and sum up the praiseworthy behavior with one word. And then ask them, how do they feel? Why is that last step important?
Give them a chance to acknowledge themselves.
Right. And you want them to know that the greatest part of life is being able to acknowledge themselves, which leads back to autonomy. Autonomous children can't acknowledge a good job. They can't acknowledge good behavior. They can't acknowledge bad behavior. And they know what to do with the bad behavior. Problem solved. Any questions? So the greatest thing you can do for your children is to teach them autonomy. Teach them how to problem solve. At least start the process. This does not have to be something that you now go home and start doing 24 hours a day. This is a gradual kind of a sharing thing. Oh, you have a problem. Well, let's sit down and problem solve. Did Mommy ever teach you how to problem solve? Let me show you how to problem solve. And if you can't even get through to find the problem, you put it away and you do it on a different day. It might be something that your children need to work into. The fact that they have a solution to a problem is beyond most of them. So it may be something that you have to kind of work into. But what you can do is anytime that they tell you a problem that they solved, you can reinforce it by saying, gosh, you solved your problem. Congratulations. Isn't it nice that God gives us all the solutions to all of our problems if we'll just sit and think about them? Isn't that great? So if you are around parents who are out of their minds with their children's problems, share this with them. Share whatever you know with parents. The worst that's going to happen is that they're going to say, I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of everybody's things about positive parenting. Well, good, you know, but I'm still going to offer my solution. Next week, we are going to talk about changing negative behavior patterns and dealing with authority. Thank you all for coming. Well, thank you for your commitment to your children. Appreciate whether they know it or not. The end.
Thank you.